Kumlena Black Gemara, and Erev Shabbos Kedesh Parsha Kedach. We are up to Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the beginning of Eilu Sharim, learning about the different kinds of knots. So we said that there are knots that are osam ha-Torah, there are knots that are osam ha-Derabonon, and there are knots that are mutter katchila. So we said the knots, the ring itself that's inside the nose of the camel, that's permanent, that's osam ha-Torah. The string that you attach to it, which from time to time you undo it, that's midrabanan. And then things which are meant to be open all the time, like a woman's shirt, and she ties the top together, is mutal chatchila. Now, the big machlek is a shayinim, so just you should know that Rashi learns, and other shayinim, it all has to do with the time that you intend. Permanent means you intend to leave it there forever, that's asam ha-Torah. If you plan to leave it for a long time, even though not forever, that's asam midrabanan, and if you plan to leave it for a short time, it's mutter. What's considered a short time? There are two opinions. If it means within the day you'll untie it, like shoelaces, or even within a week. As long as within 7 days you plan to untie it, that's already considered very short term, and it's mutter chatchila. The Rif and others learn that no, that it also has to do with the quality of the knot. So he holds out two variables before you asam ha-Torah. It has to be ma'isa uman, it has to be a skilled knot, like a sailor's knot, it has to be a skilled knot, and it has to be permanent. That's when it's asam ha-Torah. If either one is missing, I mean, even if it's permanent, but it's not a specially trained person that can make this kind of knot, it's not a ma'isa uman. Or if it's a ma'isa uman, but even though it's not for very long term, it is asam midrabanan. And if it's an ordinary person, and it's not long term at all, if both things are missing, then it is mutl chatchila. So that's where the whole question came up with about wearing a tie. Some people were machmer not to make a tie on Shabbos, because they say making a tie on Shabbos requires a skill, so it's considered a skilled man's knot. And there's also machlekes, what's considered a long term. In other words, there's one opinion that says it has to be within the same day. So there's an argument if Friday night for Shabbos morning, is that considered the same day? And there's a big argument there in Achreinim. And if you make a tie and you don't really undo it, you just take it off your head, then you made it on Friday night, and it's a ma'isa uman, and it's lasting till the next day. So therefore, according to Bas Yosef, who paskins like the Rif, it would be asam midrabanan. So that's why if you ever meet anybody who doesn't wear a tie on Shabbos, this is the basis for that chumrah. Okay. Let's continue on the Gemara. The Gemara is going through some of the points of Mishnah, which you say, Mutzal Chachilah. The Gemara doesn't even understand why you have to mention it. Says the Gemara, you mentioned in the Mishnah that a woman can tie Mafteya Chalukah. The ends on her shirt on top, one wraps to the right, one wraps to the left. The Gemara, Mafteya Chalukah, Pshita. Of course, you're allowed to. What's the problem? She had two sets of strings on both sides. And really, all she has to do is untie one, and you can slip it over her head. So, I would have thought, that since one string is enough to open up, that she can get her head in and out. So one string she might leave there. So one string she plans to leave there permanently, at least. Since it's easier to take open both knots, they're both not considered permanent. And the same thing applies to v'chutei svacha, the string she puts over, like she puts a net over her head. And she has strings holding them in place. Pshita again, she always unties them to remove it. So, of course, you're allowed to. Lo yitzvicha, you know, we're talking about the revicha lahu. She didn't make it tight, it's loose. So if it's loose, it's easy to remove from your head without actually having to untie it. So maybe the knot there is sort of permanent. Ma'ol teima mishlo shovlo, she'll slip it over her head without having to untie it. Kama shalom, the isha chosal saida. She's worried very much about losing hair. Not so much like men aren't that worried about losing the hair. She's very worried about losing her hair. And therefore, she's scared that if she pulled the thing out, a couple of hairs might go with it. Mishlo shayla, she'll always untie it. And therefore, it's mutter. Or the tzua, man over sandal, the straps of shoes and sandals. Now, we're going to learn that three different levels of straps. Some are asa, mahatayde, midrabanan, or mutter completely. I'm going to explain. Eden, we learned, hitir, the tzua, man or min over sandal. Let's say you have the shoes and the sandal. Tony Chod in one place says, chayv chati, untie them, because remember, untying is the equivalent of tying. If you untie them, you're chayiv a chata. That's awesome hatayin, in other words. But then you learn another price of bottle of us, it's only awesome drabonim. But then you learn a third place, mutter lachatchila. That you're chatchila mutter. Kasha minal minal, kasha sandal sandal. There's three different things. And in our Mishnah, it says that you're allowed to tie them. So what's going on here? Says Gemara, let's go through shoes. Meanwhile, the kasha, hardly can the chayef chad. We know when it's talking about chayef chad, it's that's talking about when the shoemaker makes the shoe. He in order that you can put laces in later, he puts in one knot on the very beginning of the shoe, and that knot is permanent. So therefore, that's a permanent osam hatayda. So here we have the machlekes. Rashi's kvetches on the permanency, and the others kvetch on the ushchvecha. That it's not just that it's permanent, but only the shoemaker does it. A tradesman, a ma'isa uman, who knows what he's doing. And that's osam hatayda. When is a potter of loser? Potter of loser, but rabbonon. When do we say that it's potter of loser? Generally, when you tie your shoes, they don't want to tie it. They said these are the rabbonon. When they tie their shoes, they don't tie it very tightly. So therefore, many times they just remove the shoe and leaving the shoelaces in place. When do they remove? So why isn't it permanent then? When they do remove them, if they're going, let's say, in a place where there's full of blotter and the dirt and cement and mud and everything else, they would untie it and then retie it much tighter so that no mud will creep into their shoe. So it's not permanent, but nor is it something that every day they untie, because they don't want to waste the time of the time it takes to undo the shoe and put the shoe on. They have to wash your hands, and meanwhile they're missing out on learning. So they just put the shoe on. That's where slip-ons started. And when is the mutter l'chatchila? When is the mutter l'chatchila? B'dibnei mechuzah. Those people there who were very affluent, and they were very concerned about their clothing, and therefore they used to tie them very tightly every day. They wanted to make sure it's clean, and therefore the only way they can remove it every night was by taking the shoes off. By untying it. So their shoes were temporary. Okay, so that's how the three kinds of shoes. Sandal, what about sandal, kasha? How do you tell you chayv chatas? When you say chayv osmat tayde, talking about the tayye, talking about these nomads, the kopti, the katri ushre, that what? That the shoemaker tied, these are people, they travel a lot, so they need good sandals, so that the shoemakers, they tie the strap in the beginning of the sandal again in a very permanent way. Again, it's an uman and it's permanent. So that's where the machlekes is. Potter avalasa, when the potter avalasa, bidu chumras, the kata inu. When they tie it themselves, regular people, they have sandals. So over there, they tie themselves. You don't use the shoemaker, they do themselves. And therefore, they tie them and for a long time, but they also untie them from time to time. And sometimes, Rashi says, sometimes it lasts for a week or a month. So it seems clearly from Rashi here, and this is the basis of the opinion, that you need said that anything less than 7 days is considered immediate. It's not considered even osam d'rabban. And mutl chatchila, and what's mutl chatchila b'sandal? Those sandals, the nafki bebetrei, the two people share the same sandal. So obviously you're going to do this and untie it every day. Obviously he was very poor. Have lehu zugah the sandal, he had a pair of sandals. Zimnin the nafik bay iu, zimnin nafik bay yunuke. Sometimes he wore them, and sometimes his young kid wore them. And obviously every time they changed, had to adjust the straps to fit the different sizes. Also, what's it in the Shabbos here? Can I untie them on Shabbos, or am I untying a permanent knot? Omele chayiv chatas. Abaye came out and said, "You're chayiv chatas." Omele Huda said to Rabbaye, he said to him, "Omele hash to pot of loser kashli." I was already expecting you to say that it's awesome with the Rabbanan. I already had a problem with that, and now the chayiv chatas coming. You tell me it's chayiv chatas. Doesn't make sense. So Rabbi said to him, "My time, but why doesn't it make sense?" So Rabbi answered, "Amar lahem shen b'chol nami zimnin nafik nebe ano zimnin nafik nebe yinukis." That's something we do on Shabbos. The weekdays also, I wear it sometimes, he wears it sometimes. So we constantly, you know, tie it and untie it and adjust it. So therefore, it's not permanent, not at all. Amar lahem, Rabbi said, "Yoch, if so, you didn't tell me that. The mutl chatchila. I thought it was a one-off thing. If so, if he did it constantly, then there's no problem. It's mutl chatchila." Rabbi have a ozle bas ekozle bas Rabbi Avu be Carmelis. Rabbi is once traveling behind Avu in a Carmelis ifsik ritzua the sandal, his strap tore. Amale, now without a strap, he can't wear the sandal, he can't carry the Carmelis. Amale, my navel, what can I do? Amale, he said to him, Rabbi said, Avu said, shkoil gomilach. Okay, you can't, you know, you don't have the straps. Take a wet, a moist reed. The chazil ma'achal behemah, so it's suitable to be eaten for fodder for an animal, so it's not mukta. The korach aleh, loosely put it in there so that you can wear the sandal until you get home. Abaye have a koy kamed of Yosef. A similar story happened. Abaye was in the backyard of Yosef. If tiglated tua, his shoelace or his strap ripped. Amalei my avalei, what can I do? Amalei shofka, you have to leave it until after Shabbos. So Abaye said to him, I don't understand. I know the story of Rabbi Yirmiyah. There he told him, he found him a way to put in a loose strap. Why aren't you giving me the same suggestion? So he said to him, Hasam le minted hacha minted. Over there it's lying in a carmel. If he doesn't give him a heitzah, somehow or another get around the muktzah, he's going to lose out. Over here it's protected in my backyard. So therefore, what do you have to find heitzahs for? Leave it here. You come back after Shabbos. Some of us have a problem, or some of the Shanim actually, have a problem that, what do you mean? Because it might be stolen, we remove the Isra Muktzah, even though we actually do, and we'll see in the last Paydek, we have all these coolers of our guy with a wallet, because we're scared that if we're going to be too strict, and to walk without a shoe, this is how we answer Rashi, to walk without a shoe is very difficult. In fact, the Baruch Hu makes sure Osali called Tzarki is really referring to shoes. And because, and therefore people might take it anyway, so we're makel on the Muktzah thing. They have other ways of learning. Says the Gemara, so Abaye says, I don't understand. My shoe is not even muktza. Why? Because the ibina, what happened? The outer strap is torn. It's very embarrassing to walk around with it, so nobody walks around with an outer strap. You know, but the sandals, it's very easy to swap it around, the back to the front, so that the outer ring really becomes the inner ring. And if the inner ring is a little bit torn, who cares? Nobody can see except me. I'm the only one who knows. So therefore, it's still a keli. It's not muktza. My shoe shouldn't be muktza at all. The ibin, because if I want to, hafichna le'yamin, it's more like swap it around from right to left. And therefore, so easy to swap it around, I can use it. And it's not embarrassing anymore, because it's an inside. So it's not muktza. So you should give me a suggestion. Amalei, everybody said no. We don't believe in the svara that you can swap around the outer to the inner, or the left shoe turn around and become the inner, and therefore it's not going to be muktzah. We don't believe that. How do I know that? Because mitkamatad it's Rabbi Yochanan liber Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan seems to follow the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Shmav nalochi Rabbi Yehuda. So it seems alochi Rabbi Yehuda who says that if a sandal loses its left side, the wings on the left side, it becomes muktzah. And we don't make that suggestion. You can just swap it around. What's the story here? Mai, what's the story? The Tanya we learned. They're talking there about tumah, but the same dinim that apply by tumah. Remember by tumah, as if a vessel becomes tame, if the vessel is no longer useful. And for its original purpose, it loses that tumah. We even had a keli that has a hole in it. It's had a puncture. It loses original status, depending what the size of the hole is. So if we look over there, sandal, if you have a sandal that was tumah, then shenifkush te'ozna, if you lost two of its ears, that's on the fore part of the front part of the leg. That's the back part that holds your heel, I guess, into the shoe. Or you lose the hooks where you put the belt that go across. You lost the sole. All of these, it can no longer be useful as a sandal, and therefore it's no longer a keli and it's tayr. You only lost one of the ears, one of the backside, or one of the rings in the front. You lost most of the sole, but you can walk slowly on the remaining part of the sole. Tummy. The Tanakhama says your tummy because it's still its original keli, it's still a sandal. Rabbi Yehuda, menifzik primis. I agree with you. If the inner one, the hooks tore tummy, because you can still wear it and you will wear it. If the outer one broke, tore you are tired because you won't fix it anymore. And even if you do fix it, it's like a brand new shoe because people will not walk around with it the way it is with some temporary thing. It's very embarrassing. The same argument is by Tumah by Shabbos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, by Shabbos, it's muktzah, it's not a keli. And Rabbi Yochanan rules, if, as we'll soon see, like Rabbi Yehuda. And because he rules like Rabbi Yehuda, we see that a sandal, if the outer ring is broken, it's muktzah. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda said to Abaye, you can't take it. And don't tell me you can swap it. It's not a swara. Says the Gemara, we'll soon come back to this. Gemara, but even though Tumah and Shabbat Sebdin, Chalitza is different. There's no argument by Chalitza. But we don't know, so what happens by Chalitza? By Chalitza also you have to put on a shoe on the right foot. We don't know what Rabbi Yechon actually is saying here when it comes to Chalitza. Who's Moida to whom? So Gemara is going to work it out. Rabbi Yechon is going to ask a question, Libidaman. Who are we following? They're saying, even though a sandal is considered a keli, right, who comes to Shabbos and all, so you say it's still a keli, and what do you call it? Where are we? So Rabbanan say, we say when it comes to Shabbos, it's still a sandal, no matter what side broke, the outside or the inside. Saying the tumah is still original keli and tamei. But when it comes to chalitza, it's not a valid shoe. So if she puts it on the right foot of her brother-in-law, it's not a valid chalitza. Is that true? But now we learned chalitza shall smell. But you mean chalitza l'sheira, that if you take the left shoe and you put it on the right foot, it's still kosher. So Luchayda, so what's wrong with that? So then what's wrong if she takes the left shoe and puts it on the right shoe, in the right foot? Why would Rabbanan be made and say that it's no good? If they hold it's a good sandal, then why shouldn't it be a good sandal also? By putting on the, even if it belongs on the left foot, you put on the right foot, it should be kosher. So it must can be the Chachamim. So what's he talking about? El Lilo, you must be saying, according to Rabbi Yehuda, say that it's not a sandal, but when it comes to Chalitza, it is. What he's saying is regarding tumah, the sandal is not considered a shoe anymore. If the outer ring is broken, so too for Shabbos, it's not anymore a sandal. If it's muktzah, the manu, when it comes to chalitza, it is considered a good sandal. She can use it. Who said? When do we say perhaps that a woman who takes the left shoe and puts on the right shoe is it's a valid left shoe? It's perfect for the left foot, but she put on the right foot. Okay, but here it's not a valid for the left foot either because the outer ring is missing. So it's two steps away. First of all, you could have swapped it around and still use it on the left foot by turning around. And then you're going to put it on the right foot, which is the wrong foot. So who said that two steps away? He will say, maybe, for the left foot it's a valid shoe. So it's only one thing wrong. He took a left shoe, put a right shoe. But here, even for its own thing, it's not a proper shoe. Rabbi Yehuda says that the outer one ripped open is tired. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not considered a sandal at all, even for the left foot. So what's Rabbi Yechon saying? Yeah? So you want to answer? No. Rabbi Yechon is following Rabbi Yehuda. But what about chalitza? But swap it around and say, v'chein l'chalitza. The same thing applies to chalitza. That chalitza, that what? That it doesn't work. Hakamashmalan, and it comes to Egypt, Haket, even though the left shoe on the right foot works, but not this case, because it's two steps away. When it's a proper shoe for the left foot, and you just put it on the right foot. But over here, even for the left foot, it's not a valid shoe, and therefore he doesn't hold it. So what is he closing here? Rabbi Yechon paskens like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore the sandal is muktzah. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechon, did Rabbi Yechon really say that? What? That halacha like Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yechon laid down a rule. We have many times halacha like a stam mishnah. The halacha is like a stam mishnah, and yet with Tanan we learned sandal in a stam mishnah. We learned a sandal should nifsika achas ma'azav. If a sandal lost one of its back, the back of the ears, the tikna and he fixed it up. Tamei midas. If there was two back, if one of them broke and he fixed it up, if one of them broke, he can still wear it, but he fixed it up. So it retains the tumas midas. If a zav stepped in it, a tumas midas means it takes on the same tumah, the same status of tumah that the original zav had. So he had a tumah midas. Let's get the parentheses. My love, it seems from here that leishna pinyin chatzonim. It doesn't make no difference which side, the inner side or the outer side. Even though it's embarrassing, it makes no difference which side it is. No, we don't follow up Yehuda who makes this distinction between the inner and outer. The outer, you're embarrassed. You won't walk around with it. No, makes no difference. That you will walk around. You will fix it. Or even if you don't fix it, you still walk around with it a little bit. Whereas the learning about Primi is Dafke. No, the Mishnah didn't bother delineating all the details, but it means only the inner one like Rabbi Yehuda. It's not a question of Yehuda. For the outer one, Taki, it's not really a shoe anymore, and therefore loses its Tumas Midas. So I'm going to ask a question. But let's say the outer one, Taki, you're saying we follow Rabbi Yehuda, it's embarrassing, it's not a shoe anymore, so it sounds like you lose your Tumas altogether. My toy. If so, Adetoni Nifsika Shnia Vitikna Toyman Midas. Why then make a distinction, say, but if the second isn't also ripped open, even though you fixed the first one, since now both of them ripped open, we'll say panim chadosh, there's no longer any tumas midas, but there is tumas maga midas. What do you mean tumas maga midas? Okay, the shoe is no longer the original status of the zav, but the shoe was touching something that originally was a midas, so the shoe becomes the next generation, an additional tumas. It's a maga midas, it touched the midas.
So why come along and talk about a second ear? Why don't you make a difference between whether it's one ear, but the inner ear or the outer ear? Nikol b'tidei. Remember, I'm already using a pinimis. Why does the Mishnah go a bit further and say, after the inner ear or the inner ring, we say that it still retains its original status? Avo chitzay atayr. Amar Rav Yitzchak Mishna answer, you know why? Tehei Mishnah seinu, our Mishnah is talking about a case, besandal sheyesh la arba aznai, four ears, the arba tazir, four rings. Why we're saying that is so that we shouldn't have a question on the words of Rabbi Yochanan. We want to make sure Rabbi Yochanan is right, because he says Lachastan Mishnah, and here we find, and yet he follows Rabbi Yehuda. So in order to make sure there's no steer between Stan Mishnah, we'll say he's talking about a sandal that has four, and therefore if one lost, it makes no difference inner or outer, because he still have another one. He also said, so Rabbi Yochanan follows Rabbi Yehuda, and that's what Rabbi Yosef told Abaye, it's Muktzah, could be Paschal like Rabbi Yehuda. He also Rabbi and Rabbi came along. Rabbi Chana bar Abba, Amar Rav, Halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, like we just said. But Rabbi Yechon, sorry, Rav said Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yechon, I'm not Rabbi Yehuda. He came along, Rabbi came along, and he said that Rabbi Yechon said Halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, not the way we learned till now. Says Gemara, Miyam Rabbi Yechon, Hachi, did Rabbi Yechon say that? But the Metadet, Rabbi Yechon, leave Rabbi Yehuda. Since Rabbi Yechon, we explained before, the way he said by adding chalitza can only work out with Rabbi Yehuda. Clearly, he doesn't rule like Rabbi Yehuda. Says Gemara, you're right. Amaroi ninu. There's two Amaroim arguing. The liba de Rabbi Yechanan. What Rabbi Yechanan said. So now, also we looked over there. We had it before it as well. Kol baal kli balabatim. Normal utensil shiurim kirmayim. The average utensil is if there's a hole there, as long as it's not larger than pomegranate, so you can still have a use for that keli, you'll keep it. So therefore, it still retains its original tumah. Boy, Chizke asked an interesting question. What about Nikir Kemaitzi Zayis? There's a puncture the size merely of an olive, so it doesn't lose its status. And then you sosma, you filled it up. Then the Chazav and Nikir Kemaitzi Zayis, then another, right adjacent to that, in close proximity, another hole appeared, size of an olive, Bistoma, and you sew it up again. Achish, Lima, the Maitzi, and a number of punctures kept popping up, creeping up, and every time you filled it, until eventually, if you add the aggregate of all these punctures, it would be the size of pomegranate. What do we say? Do we say, well, every time there's another hole, it's already been fixed up, so all you have is a hole of kazayis? Or do we say, no, because it's fixed up, it's not yet permanent, so when you add all the holes together, it becomes the size of a rimon. How do we view that? He told him, Rabbi Yechon said, Rebbe shenitzel lanu, we already learned, sandal shenifsi, we just learned. If a sandal lost, achas ma'ozna v'tikna, so you repaired it. So therefore it still retains its original status and its tummy midas. In fact, if you didn't repair it, it's still tummy. And the second one then ripped, even though you already fixed up the first one. Vitikna, you fixed up the second one as well. It loses its status. So we see clearly that even though you repaired it, if the aggregate is that it's no longer a keli, it's no longer a keli. Why is it when the first one broke, you said it's still a sandal? Because you had a second one, the second reason. When the second one broke, the first one was already intact, you repaired it, so why should it suddenly lose a state as a shoe? But Matalona, you told us, that it's a ponim chadoshes came over here, it's a brand new shoe. Even though you fixed it, we look at the repair of something extraneous to the shoe, and now that both ears are broken, it's a new shoe. Hachan, I'm here too. Ponim chadoshes bo lekan. Same thing over here. You have a bunch of holes, even though you filled each one. You look at the aggregate, and we say it's larger than a pomegranate. Kori alei. So Rav Chizkiya said, there's two versions of the Gemara, whether Rav Chizkiya or this Rebbe. Kori alei. So he said about Rabbi Yechon, leis dein bar enish. This person is not human. He is so brilliant. He's a malach. Others say, this is a real mensch. On the contrary, a person is even greater than the malach. So the greatest compliment you can say to somebody is that this guy is really on top of everything. So along those lines, Abzeda said the name of Rav Bazamuna, Imre Shaini b'nei malachim. If the previous generations are compared to angels, then anu b'nei anoshim. We're like humans. Going back to the first way, that a malach is greater than a person. The Imre Shaini ben Anoshim, the first ones are people, then Anu Kechamayim, we're like donkeys, comparatively speaking. So every generation is less than the generation before. Loi Kechamayim, Shalab Chanim, it's not like the Chamayim Chanim ben Daisa that it says that it was stolen and that they refused to eat Tavua by these new owners for 3 days because it was stolen. Or Shalab Pichel ben Yair refused to eat barley that they didn't give Maisa from. So that's a pretty trained donkey. Elokish Achmar, like an ordinary donkeys. So Yiridus Haderis. Yeah, interesting. If the version is the Rebbe, Rebbe was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yechanan, and he's complimenting Rabbi Yechanan, so it's the other way around. Here we're saying that the previous generation are better than the later ones, and there we see Faket, that Rebbe was complimenting Rabbi Yechanan. Anyway, who's the next generation? Pshita, late Sichad, East late Tarti, sorry. The Noid is Yayim, Shev, says the Mishnah, if you have barrels of wine and oil, that if you have this cover, you're allowed to remove them. So Pshita, why shouldn't you remove them? You always take it off to take food. No, late Sichad, East late Tarti, only. It has, let's say, for example, two layers, two handles that bend inside, and the truth of the matter, you can only have to open one and you can already take the food out. This other one you might as well leave it permanently. It doesn't work that way, since you can alternate, you can take open both, easier to open both, therefore we say it's no permanency, it's mutumut l'chatchila. You have a pot of meat and you put a cover on it to keep the heat. Pshita, again, why shouldn't you better tie it down? That we, again, has two sides. We would have said that you can just open a little bit and you leave the other side permanently. He has like a little spout you can take things out of. We don't say that. That you can tie down. Again, so we're going through every case where the mission says you have to do something. Of course, you're allowed to. So, Rabbi Yaakov said, if you have a piece of material going across a bar in front of the animals from one pole to the other pole, you're allowed to untie it in Shabbos. Pshita, why not? There are two ropes or it's tied on both ends. So you can open them just one end, that's enough. Either tie to each two knots, or two strings. One of them he has to open, the other one doesn't have to open. Therefore, it's like permanent. And we have a rule that his Mishnah, he didn't say that much, but whatever he said, the halacha is like him. Again, same conversation we had a few days ago. That halacha, therefore, means they're arguing. Amalei Rabbi Yechon said, "My love, who cares if they're going to argue or not? I'm telling you, look, Rabbi Yaakov." Amalei Sabaya said back to him, "Gemara, you teach Gemara is merged, but Gemara is just merely a song. Every single word that you say in the Gemara has to be analyzed and understood. And therefore, if you told me halacha, I need to understand why you're saying the halacha." And it says in the Sfarim, Rabbi Yechon was merely testing Abaya to see Abaya's response. Obviously, Rabbi Yechon was extremely successful because Abaya turned out to be very, very sharp and gave Rabbi Yechon a very hard time.
Okay, that finishes today.